I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Two different four packs in our show to the Who Dat Nation Rally and Music Fest in LaSalle Park. It's going to be pretty cool for a couple of different winners tonight. We're doing that tonight, and we're doing that tomorrow. When you hear Bobby Hebert's version of When the Saints Go Marching In, sometime, two times actually during the show, we will play that. That's going to be your cue to call in, and we will give away those tickets to the eighth caller each time. So pay attention to that. I know Logan was kind of giving me an elbow when we were talking pre-show here, saying, hey, we got to do this, right? I'm like, yeah, we got to do this. We've been promoting it all week. I'm excited for a couple of members of our audience. So that's our show. I got to get in, and this is something that I've wanted to talk about really for a few weeks, but I wanted to let what was happening in Dallas play out with Ezekiel Elliott. And he ended his contract holdout earlier today after the Cowboys gave him $90 million over a six-year extension, including $50 million guaranteed. That averages out to $15 million per season, and of course $10 million, a little under that, per season in guaranteed money. And we can get into the Ezekiel Elliott side of this, but look, he deserved that money in free market economics. I mean, this was an uncapped NFL. He would be making a lot more than that, especially playing for one of the preeminent franchises in the NFL. And Ezekiel Elliott, he said that he was very happy, got this deal done. No surprises there. That's Ezekiel Elliott, courtesy of Westwood One. Now, I'm not going to talk a lot about Ezekiel Elliott or break down the Cowboys roster because everybody here listening to this show in New Orleans and across the region, you tune out. But what the Cowboys are doing and what Jerry Jones has done, I believe they're making an incredible mistake. And in fact, I think they're making a lot of mistakes in how they handle the salary cap. And all hour long, I'm kind of going to chat with you about the reasons why I think that is. And the Saints are entering their own period of very delicate cap management. Started with Michael Thomas, so they've kind of entered this. They're going to have a slew of players that they're going to have to either renew or let walk. A lot of their young stars over the next couple of seasons, Alvin Kamara, Marshawn Lattimore, Ryan Ramczyk, Demario Davis is coming back up for contract. I mean, there are a bunch of New Orleans Saints players who we just don't quite know either what they're going to get paid or where they are going to be playing. And one thing that I think a lot of NFL fans forget, especially if your team is young and the team that you root for is also very good. So they're young and they're very good. It almost seems like, man, this success is just getting started. We're entering this, you know, golden age of Saints football. For the Cowboys, they think, well, we're back to another golden age of Cowboys football. Well, success is very fleeting in the NFL. It's not everlasting. We get beaten over the head by this almost every year with some franchise that we thought was just going to be good for so long, and they take steps back. It's similar to what we see happen with a lot of mega movie stars in Hollywood. I am right about the age where Mike Myers, the great comedian formerly of SNL, in Austin Powers and Shrek and all the great movies, he was kind of in his heyday when I was high school and then on into college and after college. I mean, it seemed like Mike Myers in a summer blockbuster comedy was going to happen every single year. I mean, he was one of the biggest movie stars on the planet. And we thought that success would never go away. Well, Mike Myers probably thought that as well, and he made some very silly career decisions on what movies he decided to make, what scripts he accepted. He made this movie called The Love Guru in 2008. I don't know if you remember this. A terrible movie. One of the worst comedies that, frankly, I had ever seen. You know what happened after Mike Myers made The Love Guru? He was no longer the unflappable mega movie star that he was before. Other than the Shrek franchise and a couple of appearances inside Tarantino films. I know he's in Glorious Bastards right after that, and kind of a minor bit. Was just in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood again. Outside of that, he's a shell of his former self. Nobody now would confuse Mike Myers for a mega movie star. Success is fleeting in Hollywood. Success is fleeting in the NFL. Just because your team is young, and the Cowboys had the youngest roster last season on a weighted per snap basis in the NFL. Not a lot younger than a lot of their contemporaries in the NFC, but younger. I guarantee you, Cowboys fans, and I've been going back and forth with them on Twitter, they think this era is never going to end. They don't. But what Jerry Jones has done since April, this started with DeMarcus Lawrence when he got this mega extension. And then they gave Jalen Smith an extension. And then it was Lael Collins, the offensive tackle. And now it's Ezekiel Elliott. Well, if you add in the $10 million they're paying left tackle Tyron Smith, and then this expected extension that they're going to give Dak Prescott, if not during the season, then after it, you're talking about the Dallas Cowboys paying six players on their roster $100 million or more. Six players, $100 million or more. It is the most anti-Patriots, anti-Belichickian salary cap economic, I guess, test case that we have ever seen. And the Saints are loaded with young talent on both sides of the football. They would be among the league's youngest team if you take out Drew Brees and the snaps that he played. They are going to enter the same, very similar, delicate period of salary cap economics that, frankly, if we're being honest here, Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton have screwed up a little bit before. When they started giving out bad contracts and re-upping some guys they shouldn't have and paying more to guys that probably on the open market wouldn't have made as much. This happened after that 2013 season. They went through three straight 7-9 years. It's a really rough period here for football. I am telling you, the Saints must be the anti-Cowboys. They've got to be the anti-Cowboys when these young players start coming up for extensions. And the Patriots have laid the blueprint for how it's done. And I just don't understand why NFL franchises all the time think they have to remake the wheel. They don't. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get into more of this on just how the Saints need to be the anti-Cowboys, and we'll position it that way. Talk about what the Patriots have done. I know that's kind of a dirty word among every other NFL fan base, but let's be honest, they've won six titles for a reason. I think this is incredibly important. I really do. This is right in my wheelhouse, and every single Saints fan out there, the single most important thing that the Saints are going to do or not do to maintain this run of success after Drew Brees is gone has to do with how they manage the salary cap. Phone lines are open for you at 504-260-1870. Our text line is 870-870. Here's a text from the 504, poor Mike Myers. He has to apply for financial aid. No, he probably doesn't. A lot of money in the bank. Seth Dunlap, Logan Sear also. It's the last lap on WWL. Welcome back to the show. We'll get to some of your calls in just a second. But I think it's something really important, and we're talking about here in hour number one, throughout hour number one, that Saints fans need to be paying attention to. And that's this delicate period of salary cap management that they are entering, and why they need to position themselves as the anti-Cowboys in all of this. After we watch what Dallas has been doing the last 4 months, and owner Jerry Jones, he did it again today, paying Ezekiel Elliott $15 million per year. I get it. I'm glad Zeke got his money. No problem with, from Zeke's perspective of this. I also think and know in an uncapped market, that Ezekiel Elliott would be making a lot more than that. I understand those points, but I'm looking at this through the lens of NFL salary cap economics. And frankly, Dallas has been acting like a bad startup run by Jerry Jones the last couple of years. I actually worked for a very bad startup, one of my first jobs in the broadcasting industry. I had some people that I knew in the Pacific Northwest, and they wanted to start this really big, wide-ranging play-by-play sports broadcasting company. Not just play-by-play, but they wanted to cover college and small football and high school football. Had a lot of money thrown at it, and I kind of was sold. Well, I shouldn't have been sold, because the guys who were running that organization that I worked for as a very young, naive broadcaster, they believed they were smarter than everybody else. They made terrible financial decisions. Buying vehicles they didn't need to. Traveling places they didn't need to go. Hiring people with no experience. And you know what happened? A couple of years after that started, they went belly up. And I was right in the middle of that. I was still working for them when they did that. The Cowboys have been acting like a bad startup. There's a reason why that they have not won or played for a Super Bowl in two decades. It's not a fluke. It's Jerry Jones' management of the startup. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott gets $90 million today. $15 million for a running back in a league where the running back is being devalued. It's a bad financial decision. If you go beyond this, and again, I named them last segment, DeMarcus Lawrence and Lyle Collins, Jalen Smith. And when they pay Dak Prescott and also Tyron Smith, their left tackle's contract, folks, they could have seven players making $120 million a year. That is seven Cowboys players. If they re-sign Dak and they re-sign Amari, it's going to be right around there. That is salary cap suicide in the NFL. And we again have an owner who believes he is smarter than everybody else. And he's believed this since he bought the Cowboys. And they were so good in the 90s. And Jerry Jones was so good in the 90s. Although, I think a lot of the credit, of course, needs to go to Jimmy Johnson and how he constructed that team. This is a disaster. I'm calling it on the air like it is. I don't care how good those young players are. And the Saints, they've got to learn from this. They've got to look over at Dallas. And they cannot take a page out of that book. Not if they want to continue to be among the NFC's elite teams long after Drew Brees is gone. And I'm going to explain how they can do this. And maybe a team and some people they need to take some inspiration from as the hour goes on. But I want to get to your phone calls here at 504-260-1870. We'll go to Jeffrey on the West Bank. Jeffrey, welcome into the show.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
You have a point. You have a point, but I disagree with you on one. I think Pittsburgh Steelers is the premier organization where you should look at how they draft their players, they keep their players, and how they deal with free agency and how they deal with trades and things like that.
Okay, why? Let me ask you this. Why would you look at Pittsburgh? And look, I'm going to tell you in next segment why I think the Saints should be looking to the Patriots for this. Tell me why Pittsburgh over the Patriots.
Well, they do have similar things. They do have similar things.
Not rings.
Well, they do have a similar way that they run the organization. Here's the difference. Pittsburgh, they do like to run the ball, and they honor the running back position. But they're not going to overpay a running back, and they're not. What I mean by that, they're not going to give you the
sure
year.
Sure. And Jeffrey, I think that's fair. And I will give you this: there are some similarities. I don't think it's a copycat from Pittsburgh to New England. But you're right. They spread out their salary cap a lot more than say Dallas is doing. I think that's fair. One more call. Let's go to Jared in Algiers. Jared, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
I want you to hear me out. I admire the New England Patriots for how they conduct their business. They create value with people they've drafted, like Garoppolo and that guy they traded to Kansas City a while back.
Matt Castle.
And what they get in return is far exceeds what they've traded. They're masters at trading. And they also trade out of the first round to accumulate more picks.
Yes, they do, Jared. And those are all great points. We're up against a news break. But look, I think there's a lot of things the Saints should learn from the Patriots. I'm just being frank on this. We got a break. When I come back, I'm going to get into that. I'm going to tell you exactly where and why they should take inspiration from their counterparts up north. Text from the 995, Saints fans really hate seeing Zeke signed today. I would be scared too. No, I'm happy for Zeke. And frankly, from a Saints perspective, I'm glad because I think the Cowboys have made a disastrous mistake and multiple disastrous mistakes over the last couple of months. The NFL is a copycat league. I mean, that's the adage. We talk about this all the time. When a franchise finds success with some outside-the-box approach, frankly, inside or outside the box, Most other franchises try to copy it. I mean, this happens so often in the NFL. We talk about it on the air every year. I mean, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady were the guys who basically ushered in this orchestration at the line of scrimmage that made their offenses so good. Now, every franchise quarterback in the NFL has nearly autonomous control of pre-snap adjustments because the league copycatted what Manning and Brady were doing. Pete Carroll, in the early part of this decade, he came into the NFL when all the quarterbacks were small and speedy. He thought his gargantuan-sized quarterbacks could counteract the proliferation of big athletic receivers. And he was right. Those defenses became the best in football. Seahawks won a title. And now, one of the most valuable assets to any team is finding a big physical corner. That came from Carroll. The Rams, we know they hired Sean McVay. He remade that offense. And now every time there's a head coaching vacancy in the NFL, teams are searching for the next Sean McVay. So it's a copycat league, which is why I'm just dumbfounded that most NFL teams have still failed to acknowledge the role that salary cap management has played in the Patriots' nearly two-decade-long dynasty. I get that they've employed one of the best coaches and best quarterbacks in league history at the same time during this span. But if you're saying it's all them and not salary cap management, I have a lesson for you. You're not seeing the whole picture here. The Patriots have laid a blueprint. It's on the table for everybody to see. And so many franchises are unwilling to take salary cap pages out of that Patriots book. We see organizations make this mistake all the time. It's not just NFL franchises. I was watching a show called Kitchen Nightmares. Logan, you know Kitchen Nightmares? Yeah, he's nodding his head back there. Kitchen Nightmares is a Gordon Ramsay show, and he goes in and tries to fix all these restaurants that are either gone belly up or about to go belly up. He did a restaurant here in New Orleans about a decade ago out in Metairie. It was called Zeke's Restaurant. I actually saw this episode again a couple of days ago for the first time. Zeke's, before Katrina, had this really charismatic owner. They were fun-loving inside, really good local food. There wasn't this, you know, stiff, stale atmosphere at Zeke's. And then you had, once Zeke passed away, the restaurant got bought out by a couple with the last name of Cortello. And they wanted to change everything that Zeke had done. They wanted to change all the blueprint that he had laid for how to run a successful restaurant. And Ramsay, in this Kitchen Nightmares episode, laid it out. They even had this crazy oyster dish that they just made up out of thin air because they had the ego the size of, you know, the city of New Orleans. It was called Oysters Costello that, well, I got to be honest, it didn't look very good. These owners, the Costellos, failed to look around, including at the place that they bought, and understand how to run a good restaurant, even though the blueprint was out there. And now, Zeke's, it's closed. There's no Zeke's anymore. Well, if you go to the NFL, a lot of people are unemployed in the league. A lot of general managers, a lot of head coaches are unemployed because they're just so stubborn that they don't look up to New England. And what does New England do when it comes to salary cap management? They are the most disloyal team in the NFL. Now, they might be one of the worst organizations to be employed by if you value loyalty, because they are not loyal, but they value championships over loyalty. And you know what's happened? The Patriots fan base now has learned to accept that their favorite players might not be Patriots for life. I think even the players that play in that system, that play under Bill Belichick, now understand you've got to embrace the Patriots way. You're probably going to come home with a championship ring or two, but the organization is not going to be loyal to you. I don't understand why more teams don't emulate that. I mean, I just put four letters on the chalkboard just to remind myself, or whiteboard. I would just put WWBD. What would Bill do? Or what would Belichick do? It's almost like, In this sport that has, again, these massive egos, where every single owner, every single general manager, every single head coach seems to think that they can reinvent the wheel and they are smarter than everybody else, they miss a lot of opportunities to be great by learning some people that were great before them. I want you to listen to this clip. This is Jerry Jones. Do you think that Bill Belichick would ever say something like this? Would you ever hear Bill Belichick basically say, well, player X has earned his money. It's just, you know, fair market value. Other teams would have paid him as much. But Belichick doesn't care about what other organizations are going to do at all. They look inside themselves and they put a value on what they believe these players bring to their organization. They're not going to go a penny above that. They're not going to go a penny above that. I don't think the Patriots do everything perfectly. I think the organization is certainly abrasive. And I think they bend the rules in their favor in ways that I find less than above the board. But if you're a general manager or salary cap economist in the NFL, if you're in the front office of any NFL team, and you're not looking at the Patriots and how they've managed their cap, you're making a huge mistake. So that brings us back to the Cowboys and the Saints. The Cowboys now have positioned themselves squarely as the anti-Patriots. They believe, for whatever reason, that they know how to do things better than the organization that's won six championships in the last two decades. The Saints, meanwhile, they've been spinning their wheels a little bit for the last decade trying to get back to a Super Bowl. They went through this period post-2013 when Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton made some very bad decisions in free agency. They kind of wanted to be the anti-Patriots a little bit. I think they've learned their lesson. I hope they've learned their lesson. We're going to take some calls, and then a little bit later this hour, I'm going to explain what I think that the Saints need to do over the next 2 years when they're facing all of these decisions with their young players. I'll tell you this, if they pay seven players $120 million, I will be on the air here telling you why that is a disastrous mistake, just like I'm telling you why it's a disastrous mistake in Dallas. Let's go to the phone lines. Will in New Orleans. Will, what's up?
Yes, calling about your opinion about, you know, the New England Patriots being the example the Saints should follow. But here it is. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Patriots have the same amount of rings.
They do not in the salary cap era, Will.
Let me finish. From 1969, from 1970 till now, you can basically say the Pittsburgh Steelers have the premier franchise. They've been contenders in every decade. They've been Super Bowl contenders in every decade. So if you want to count to the last two, New England. If you want to count from the 70s to now, it's Pittsburgh.
Will, I need you to pay attention for a second. I need you to pay attention, and I'm going to put you on hold because I'm not going to talk over you. You asked me to be quiet. I timed it. I gave you 59 seconds, and I didn't talk over you. I want you to answer a simple question for me. Are you really comparing the pre-salary cap era when Pittsburgh won most of their Super Bowls to the one that the NFL is in now? Are you comparing those two eras?
No, not necessarily. But
Why would you bring up all of the rings that the Steelers won in the 70s? What does that have to do with today's NFL?
Okay, but let me just say this too. Also, another part of my argument, you just said that New England always bent the rules in this era.
I did not say they always bent the rules. I said they do some things that I find a little less than, you know, savory. I will say that. But, Will, here's what I'm not going to do. You're obviously a Steelers fan, and we had another one call in, and I'm not going to get into this you-know-what contest between Steelers and Patriots fan. Like, go on a message board and do that. Frankly, I find that silly. Like, you're staring at a franchise that in the salary cap era has won six Super Bowls, and this is what I've been talking about here this hour. We have a lot of fans and a lot of people, frankly, that have NFL jobs, that are coaches, that are people in the front office, that think like, well, they're the Patriots. I hate the Patriots. I don't want to do it like them because I'm smarter and better, and I think I can reinvent the wheel. You don't need to do that. Bill Belichick, of all of his great traits, great game planner. He is a great defensive tactician and strategist. Maybe the best thing that he does is manage the salary cap. and that people won't recognize that is absolutely mind-boggling to me. And that's what we're talking here today. When we come back, I'm going to get into these tough decisions the Saints are going to have to make the next couple of years and some lessons that they can learn. 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. Our text line is 870-870. The last lap on WWL. Ezekiel Elliott gets a new contract worth $90 million over 6 years. That's the extension from the Cowboys. And the Cowboys now, once they get this Dak Prescott contract, will have six players tying up $100 million plus of their salary cap. That is an incredibly bad way to run an NFL franchise. I have a text from the 504 here that says, obviously you're trying to create drama. Nobody gives a bleep about how teams are running. Well, I think if you're listening to this show and you're listening to Sports Talk Radio, you should care how teams are run. You should care how the Saints are run. And that's what we're wrapping it back around to here. I'm not talking about the Cowboys to talk about the Cowboys or why I think the Patriots have set a good example just to talk about it here. The Saints are entering this very tough period of salary cap management when they will have all of these players up for renewal over the next couple of years. Kamara, Von Bell, Marcus Williams, Taysom Hill, Eli Apple, Larry Warford, Sheldon Rankins, DeMario Davis, Alex Anzalone. That's just the next 2 years. You go a little further down the road, if they get their third-year option picked up, which I think they will, Ryan Ramczyk and Marshawn Lattimore, Teron Armstead will be up for a new contract in a couple of years. I mean, this is going to be tough for this franchise. It's an unenviable position for Mickey Loomis, who's done a great job constructing this roster. A lot of tough decisions. We all know that Loomis and Peyton have messed this up a little bit. I mean, that's just honest. I have been kind of an avid Sean Payton, I'm not going to say apologist, but certainly a supporter of his style, his coaching methods over the last couple of years, and same with Mickey Loomis on this program. But it is very fair to say that post-2013, he gave out some horrendous contracts, both in free agency and to players that were up for renewal on their own roster. I mean, this Junior Gillette deal was terrible. Jarris Byrd, all-time bad in free agency. It could go on. They got to learn their lesson. They got to learn from their mistakes. I played a lot of poker, played poker professionally for a while, a couple of different times, actually. And I learned a lesson very early on when I was kind of supporting myself in college back in the very early poker boom. And I play these tournaments, and I get late in tournaments, and I keep busting out. And initially, I was just being stubborn, just kind of getting angry, like, oh, man, my luck. I'm not doing things right. Well, I kind of learned that I wasn't being aggressive late enough in poker tournaments, which is a huge skill that you've got to have. You can't just kind of knit up and tighten up. I learned from my mistakes. I started winning tournaments. Kind of propelled me into a little bit of a professional poker career. I was, I guess, humble enough to know that I wasn't infallible. I think Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton know that. I think they've learned lessons from their mistakes previously. It's also another franchise that did what the Cowboys are trying to do, and this is why I think the Cowboys have not learned their lesson. Again, seven players. It'll be six players if they re-sign Dak, what they're going to do. Six players, $100 million, give or take. Well, it's going to be over $100 million. If they also re-sign Amari Cooper, that's going to be seven players and $120 million a year. I mean, that is, again, that is the most anti-Belichickian, anti-Patriot salary cap management I've ever seen. And it's not like they don't have a counterexample that they can look to here recently. The Seahawks won that Super Bowl in 2013, made another one in 2014. They had all of these young players coming up for contract, and everybody thought that the Seahawks were the next dynasty. They were going to win multiple Super Bowls. They had all these Hall of Famers on that roster, the Legion of Boom. Well, they kind of believed they were smarter than the Patriots. They kind of believed they were the smartest people in the room. They gave 10 players at that point when the salary cap was about $140, $150 million. They gave 10 players over $100 million total, closer to $120 million. You know what happened? Their roster disintegrated. Those players got hurt. They got old. They were unhappy. They got a little fat off the money that they were making, proverbially. And the Seahawks had to blow it up. Again, the Saints, when all of these contracts come up, and it's going to start with Alvin Kamara this next year, they're going to have a very tough decision to make. Are they going to give Alvin Kamara $16, $17, $18 million per year? Because I think in today's NFL, he's a more valuable running back than Ezekiel Elliott is. Cowboys fans will hear that and go, what are you talking about, Seth? No. Look at his production in the passing game and the running game and his age. And I'll take Alvin Kamara over Ezekiel Elliott. That's going to be a very tough decision. You have a loaded young roster in New Orleans. It's a great thing to have, but it's also a double-edged sword. Because it is human nature to value loyalty. It is human business nature to want to keep the guys that kind of helped you build the product that you have, keep those guys and, you know, and gals in-house. That's what Mickey Loomis is going to want to do. That's going to be the natural reaction. That's what Sean Payton is going to want to do. They're going to have to make some very tough decisions if they want to keep this Saints team among the NFC's elite after these contract renewals come up and after Drew Brees leaves. Out of all the things you're going to watch over the next couple of years with the Saints, other than actual game football, that's probably the most important thing to pay attention to. So keep that in mind from the texture that I wrote earlier and read earlier. Squeeze in a call here. Jared in Avondale, welcome to the show.
Hey, Seth. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
Hey, listen. You talk about the salary cap and everything. I just think that if people would go and watch the movie Moneyball with Brad Pitt, that is what the New England Patriots are doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not paying all these big-time contracts. They're getting people that can produce wins for them. And that was the whole point of the movie, producing wins.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like the Saints, like you were saying about Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton. What's going to happen in a couple of years when Brees retires?
That's a good question.
What about Michael Thomas? They signed him for 5 years. Do you think he's going to be here for another 5 years? No, I think teams are going to come in and pilfer our players.
Well, I don't know if Michael Thomas won't be here. I actually expect him to be here. I'm on record saying I wouldn't have given any receiver 10%+ of the salary cap. I love Michael Thomas. I think Michael Thomas is one of the three best receivers in the NFL. I don't even think it's close beyond the top three of Julio, Hopkins, and Michael Thomas. I think Michael Thomas earned that money, more than earned that money, but I thought it was a mistake by the Saints from a salary cap perspective, which has me pretty darn hesitant and a little concerned about how that front office for the Saints is going to handle all of these star players and the contracts that are coming up. Text from the 504 at 870-870 asks, so it's the Saints' fault for drafting well? No, it's not a fault, but like I said, it's a double-edged sword. You draft well, and you have all these young players, maybe the best draft in NFL history a couple of seasons ago. And you're going to have some really tough decisions to make. We'll come back, more of your calls and texts, plus our bonehead of the day. And look, this one was written very early this morning, and it's somebody we've been talking about. Seth Dunlap, The Last Lap, will continue on WWL. Welcome back to the show. Every day we hand out our first hour award, taking a look at the biggest bonehead of the day in sports. And our bonehead of the day, no doubt, are here. It's Jerry Jones, who once again proves that he believes he's the smartest guy in every single room he ever enters in giving Ezekiel Elliott $15 million. But it's not that necessarily. It's that he's now going to have $100 million plus tied up in six players. I'm calling it now. No way Dallas wins a championship with that group.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.